been a brutal couple of days on the markets. We've got Bitcoin trading now below the range and also below the bull market support bands at 86,300. But I woke up this morning and the first thing I did was I tweeted that I think we're going to get a relief rally. And more than a relief rally, I actually think that right now is a very, very, very good time to be deploying capital. And I'm not basing this just on gut feel, even though my gut feel is saying it's time to deploy capital. I'm actually basing it on data. And I want to show you the data that's showing me that this is one of the best times to actually deploy capital. I'm going to show you why, and then I'm going to show you exactly where I'm deploying some capital in this market. It's going to be a great show. As you can see, I'm here. I'm sick, but I thought I must come and I must bring you the show. So if that sounds good to you, you know what to do. Obliterate the like button and let's get the show on the road, guys. I need you to see the lengths that I went to bring you a show today. Like a true story. This is a true story. I'm sick as a dog. So I called in a sister,
making sure that I can be
a nurse
today.
To bring us, to get me a drip, to get me on, to get me all the stuff that I needed to into my body so I could bring you guys a show. So here I am, bring you crypto love and crypto wisdom. Crypto love and crypto wisdom. Even though I'm sick, what I need you guys to do is I need you guys to obliterate the like button, destroy the like button if you appreciate that. I'm going to bring you guys a lot of alpha. I'm going to show you exactly why I think it's a very, very, very good time to be deploying capital. And I don't say that very, I don't say that very loosely. I don't say it very loosely that we need to deploy. And I think it's a great time, and I'll show you exactly why it's a great time, even though it's been quite tough on the markets. As I said, first we had I need you guys to obliterate the like button. I see it's not moving up as fast as we need to move it up. So the first capitulation we had was ETH. That kind of set off. That was like the canary in the coal mine. After the ETH capitulation, we had the Sol capitulation. And now we seem to be having the Bitcoin capitulation. So we're having Bitcoin dropping below the range, dropping below the weekly, the bull market support bands on the weekly. Dropping the bull market support bands on the weekly is not great. And we really, really, really want to get, before Sunday, we kind of want to get back to the 91,100s. That would be great. That's it. Look, it's happened before that we've dropped below the bull market support bands. We just don't want to be dropping below the bull market support bands in a bull market. But it has happened before, and we have actually rebounded. There is that CME gap, which is somewhere between 78 and 80,700. I thought we were going to hit that yesterday before the NVIDIA results. Because the market was scared, and we'll look at that in a couple of seconds, but we didn't actually quite hit it. But we've had a terrible, terrible, terrible month for Bitcoin. So if you look at February, February's down 15%. And if you look back to the last time that Bitcoin was down 15% in a month, you pretty much don't have any months in 2024, don't have any months in 2023. And in 2022, in November, which I think is when FTX went under, that is the last time that Bitcoin dropped 15%. In the span of a month. So you're talking about quite a serious correction for Bitcoin. Not a serious correction in terms of like bull market corrections, because bull market corrections can be 20-30%, but the speed at which this is happening, where we're getting a 15% drop in a month, is quite a serious drop in Bitcoin. And the truth is that if you're looking for the charts and you're looking for support, there's really only one support that we now have, and that's this 200 day SMA. This is the last support level we have if you want to look at the charts. That's pretty much the last support level that we actually have here, right? So that's where we're at. As I said yesterday, Bitcoin went all the way back down to 82,000. I was kind of trying to watch it. I was in bed, but I was trying to watch it. I saw Bitcoin at like 82, 82 and a half, 83. And that was ahead of the NVIDIA results. And I then sent a message to my traders and said, listen, brace yourselves, because these NVIDIA results can make or break the market. Now, I think we got lucky yesterday. NVIDIA over-delivered. You can see that their adjusted EPS was 89 cents versus 84 cents. Their revenue, 39 billion versus 38 billion forecast. And then you had their margin, which was 73.5%. Now, again, NVIDIA delivers. It's unbelievable how NVIDIA has this culture of always over-delivering on their results. It's like they haven't missed a revenue forecast. Now, one thing you need to remember is that these results are for Q4, and Q4 was before DeepSeek. So actually, Q1's results, which will come out Jan, Feb, March, probably around April, May. When those Q1 results come out, we've got to pay serious attention, because that's when we're going to have DeepSeek potentially factored into the numbers, right? That's what we need to look at. Anyway, if we look at NVIDIA now, trading ever so slightly up, so 0.6 up. And I think that, to be honest, that's a near miss. So you can say we survived the NVIDIA results. But then, even though we survived the NVIDIA results, Trump went and did his thing. And he started to declare a tariff war. This time, because remember, Trump has this like thing of like declaring the tariff wars, and then the markets sometimes respond and sometimes don't respond. This time, he did respond. Now, you'll notice that the way he declares these tariff wars is like, it's like random press conferences about other things. And then he like casually throws in, oh yeah, we're going to declare like tariffs on Europe. Europe is like the most evil thing that ever happened. Just listen to this. Just listen to Trump doing it.
Mr. President, have you just made a decision on what level you will seek on tariffs in the European Union?
We have made a decision. We'll be announcing it very soon, and it'll be 25%. Generally speaking, and that'll be on cars and all other things. And European Union is a different case than Canada, different kind of case. They've really taken advantage of us in a different way. They don't accept our cars. They don't accept essentially our farm products. They use all sorts of reasons why not. And we accept everything of them. And we have about a $300 billion deficit with the European Union. Now, I love the countries of Europe. I guess I'm from there at some point a long time ago, right? But indirectly, well, pretty directly too, I guess. But I love the countries of Europe. I love all countries, frankly, all different. But European Union's been, it was formed in order to screw the United States. I mean, look, let's be honest. The European Union was formed in order to screw the United States.
This is the part that basically destroyed the markets.
And they've done a good job of it, but now I'm president.
So he's basically saying to Europe, look, we're going to implement tariffs against Europe. Obviously, the market didn't like that. Market started to collapse. S&P started to collapse. Bitcoin started to collapse. That is pretty much what started the whole shit show, right? That's what started all this total free fall. And then I tweeted and I said, look, Trump is basically on a mission to wreck the markets. It's like, I thought that Trump would come in and he'd use the stock markets as a barometer as to how well he's doing. And it feels like he just keeps threatening tariffs, knowing the effect that the tariffs are going to have on the markets. Now, the only thing that I can think of is that he's adopting a Reagan-type approach. When Reagan came into power, first there was a little bit of pain, and then there was a whole lot of gain. And he's kind of sacrificing short-term markets for long-term markets. Either way, whatever he was doing yesterday was making the markets very, 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 very scared. Very, 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 very scared. Like, I don't remember, to be honest, I don't remember seeing fear and greed at 10 before. I think maybe Luna wasn't even at 10. In fact, let's just quickly go back to fear and greed and just look at the fear and greed. So, okay, 3rd of July 2022, what was that? That was like 10. What date was Luna? Let's quickly just go back to see. When was Luna? Let's just go. Luna was May 2022, I think it was. It was like April, May, 2022. So if we look at April, May, 2022 in this thing here, that's here. Even then, we were at a fear and greed of 10. Like that was the Luna collapse. That was a fear and greed of 10. FTX was here. When was FTX? November, 2022, right? So October, November. That wasn't even a fear and greed of 10. And so right now, what you have is you have markets very, 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 very scared, right? It's not often that markets get to a fear and greed of 10. But what you can see is that when markets do get to a fear and greed of 10, usually we get an upswing, an upswing. And we'll talk about that in a second. The people that are getting scared, though, are the ETFs. So if you look at the ETFs, something very interesting is happening in the ETFs. Look at the last couple of days on the ETFs. You had 754 billion million flow out yesterday. You had 1.1 billion flow out the day before. You had 539 million flow out the day before. If you calculate all this, this is like, that's like two and a half billion in outflows in the last couple of days. And so what you can see is that generally, when we look at the ETFs, we always think that this is the institutions and this is the smart money, but it's actually not the institutions. And it's actually not the smart money in the ETFs. It's actually retail investors. And when you look at previous maximum outflows or very strong outflows. What you realize is you realize that every time that the ETFs have had maximum outflows or really big outflows, that the that is then preceded by an upswing. So what it means is that the ETF buyers aren't the smart money and that they're actually becoming a barometer of the dumb money, right? They dump before price rises. They dump when fear peaks. That is what's happening. And it happened again now. These are the by far the biggest outflows out of the ETFs, specifically around Bitcoin. ETH slightly less, by the way. And we'll talk about what's happening with ETH because they have got outflows, but on a relative basis, less than Bitcoin. And so you got to ask yourself, what's going on with Bitcoin? And the answer is that Bitcoin is now a mature asset. It's a mature institutional asset. And the holders of Bitcoin are, or the biggest holders of Bitcoin are actually the ETFs. And what the ETFs are doing is they're trading based on sentiment only. When they're scared, they sell. And when they're not scared, they buy, right? It's crazy, but when the price goes up, they buy. When the price goes down, they get scared and they sell, which is typically what a retail investor lands up doing. That is what the ETFs are starting to do. And this is now becoming a very accurate indicator as to when we top and when we bottom. It's right now probably one of the most accurate indicators. But as I said, right now we have the fear and greed index at 10. And so people are selling. And you got to ask yourself, who are the people that are selling? And I showed you guys that the ETFs are the people that are selling, right? That's the first bunch of people that are selling. But then it gets a little bit more interesting. Glassnode actually did an analysis on chain to find out exactly who it was that were actually selling. And what they did was they broke up the sellers by how long they've been holding their coins, right? Whether it's 1 day to 1 week, 1 week to 1 month, 1 month to 3 months, 24 months, and they went on and 24 hours, and then they went on and on and on. And what they realized is that the people that are selling, the people that are capitulating, are the people that are buying Bitcoin short term, right? And if you look at it, if you look at the long term sellers, and the long term, let's just say 3 months to 6 months holders, 0.3% of the cohort are selling for losses. 6 to 12 months, 0.15% are selling for losses. So what you're getting is you're getting a situation where the people that are selling are the short-term people. And just look at this. The people that have been holding for 10 years, 7 years, 5 years, 3 years, 5, 2 years, 1 year, did not sell a cent. You get what's going on here? Like, I don't think I've ever seen a chart like this where the people just don't sell. The long-term holders are the ones that actually just don't sell. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing a pattern where the whales are buying what the short-term sellers are selling. It's like completely, completely, completely absurd what's going on here. What's going on here is you're realizing that you've got two types of people in this market. You've got people who've been in the market for a long time and they understand the volatility of Bitcoin. And then you've got this new cohort of investors, which actually makes up a very, very, very big part of the Bitcoin investor base, particularly because of the ETFs. And what these guys are doing is they are buying based on the sentiment of the market, which means that they are not very, very, very smart investors. That's effectively what's happening now. And right now, because of the size of this market, now the size of the ETF market is about $100 billion, give or take at the moment, right? $100 billion of Bitcoin is sitting in the ETF market. It is completely, I don't want to say institutionalized because I actually don't think it's institutions. I think it's flimsy retail investors buying in the ETF, $100 billion worth. And they are trading based on emotion. They are trading based completely on fear and greed. And that is in stark contrast to the OGs who've been here who, again, I just have to show you the chart, did not sell a cent. Literally, did not sell zero, like nothing, 0.00. And so there is a pattern that's happening here. The selling that's happening right now is the newbies. Okay, so it's the noobs. This is from Kiyang Ju. He owns CryptoQuant, and he said, if you're panic selling now, you're probably a noob. A 30% correction in Bitcoin in the cycle is common. It dropped 53% in 2021, even though I don't want to talk about that because I think the logic is flawed. Buying when prices rise and selling when prices fall is the worst investment strategy. Invest with a clear plan. And I want to show you what the plan is, because this is very similar to what Zhu said. He said, the concept of bullish selling is simple. coins transferring from weaker hands to stronger hands, and also value shifting from better and better coins. And that's really what's happening on the market. So the question then becomes is, do you want to trade like a noob, or do you want to trade like someone who's been here for a long time? And if you're trading like someone who's been here for a long time, then you have conviction. If you have conviction, the first thing about having conviction is you're buying assets that you're happy to hold through a bear market if a bear market comes. I'm happy to hold Bitcoin if there's a bear market. I'm happy to hold Solana if there's a bear market. I'm happy to hold Sui if there's a bear market. I'm happy to hold Sonic if there's a bull market. I understand the coins and I have conviction in the coins and I'm happy to hold those coins. I have conviction. And then if you've been here for a long time and you say, okay, hold on, let's just understand the lay of the land. Now, for the noobs, they don't understand this because they haven't been here. But for those of us that have been here for a long time, number one, we don't believe the cycle is over because we've been through cycles before and we know how hectic the corrections can be in the cycle, right? It can be over, but we don't think it is over. Also, do you not think that Trump is going to try and eventually pump the markets? And do you not see what's happening around you, where all the legislation and all the litigators are dropping all the lawsuits against crypto companies so that the US can actually start embracing crypto companies? The SEC is closed its investigation into Gemini, into Uniswap, into Coinbase, into Kraken, even into Justin Sun. I read that Justin Sun is also potentially settling a fraud case, right? His fraud case, or the SEC, whatever charges the SEC have got against him. So if you've been here for a while, you know that these corrections are normal. And you know that every time there's a correction, the time to start buying is when you think that it's over. That's pretty much the time to start buying. When you feel that it's over, you start buying. And I've said this many, many times, but I have to say this to you again. Probably the worst strategy is to listen to the noise. Market goes up. They say to you, don't chase, wait for a pullback. Market goes sideways. No, don't diddle-daddle in the middle and wait for a range to resolve. Market goes down. No, don't catch a falling knife. Okay, bro. It's what this guy says. He says, somebody please help me. I haven't taken a trade since 2017. You got to trade with a strategy and you got to have conviction. And I want to show you the strategies, two strategies that have worked for me for a long time. Okay? I want to show you those strategies because they are the simplest strategies in the whole wide world. The first strategy is a very simple strategy. And the strategy says, when you feel the moment that you feel like giving up, you feel like you want to exit crypto, you feel like crypto is never going to recover, you buy. And when he says the best long-term buys I've done are the ones that I did feeling sick in my stomach from all the pain. On the other side, when you're euphoric and when you're buying and when you're sharing screenshots, fucking sell. Simple as that. It comes down to the old adage that says buy when people are fearful and sell when people are greedy. And we even have a fucking indicator that tells you exactly when to buy and sell. Like literally, don't even look at price. Forget about price. Price does not exist. And just look at the fear and greed indicator. And I want to show you how effective this strategy actually is. Forget about price. Forget about news. Because remember that markets are driven by the market cycle and not by news and fundamentals. In the last couple of days, we've had amazing, amazing, amazing positive news. Have the markets moved? No. Markets are moved by sentiment. That's it. Not fundamentals, not news. Markets are driven by collective sentiment. Right now, the collective sentiment is very bearish. But the collective sentiment is the masses. And the masses sell when prices go down and they buy when prices go up. How do you beat the masses? You become a Warren Buffett. How do you become a Warren Buffett? Very simple. You buy. He said it. He said, you buy when people are fearful and you sell when people are greedy. Now, just talking about Warren Buffett, I tweeted something and I think it's probably worth talking about because this will bring us into the next part of the strategy. But I think one thing that you really, really, really have to keep in mind is that Warren Buffett made the majority of his money, he made 99% of his money after the age of 65. I said, like, we're way younger than that, and we have exponential opportunities that he didn't have. You need to start playing the real long game and the real strategy game. And I want to show you just how simple this game is. The game is you buy when people are fearful and you sell when people are greedy. and you just do it with one indicator, which is the fear and greed index, right? Literally, you see here where the fear and greed is red. This is when the fear and greed is hovering around 10. Now, simplistically, let's just look at this. Just like simplistically. Every time it's been red, sometime in the future afterwards it's gone green. Every time people have been scared, usually it's been a bottom and it's gone up. Do you ever see fear near a top? No. You see fear near a bottom, right? It's like they've given you the fucking test paper. Honestly, like, buy red, sell green. That's it. I just want to show you how effective that strategy is. Let's take Bitcoin, for example, right? And let's assume that you're a computer. You're not a human. And all you do is you trade on one indicator and you say, look, when fear and greed goes below 20, I buy. When fear and greed goes to extreme greed, which is above 75, I sell. That's it. No other noise, no other indicators, just sentiment. Now let's see what actually fucking happens, okay? You would land up buying Bitcoin over here, and you would land up selling Bitcoin. So you see here, in this block here, you would be buying because the market is at 0 to 25. Then you would be selling. Remember, you're a computer. You don't listen to the news. You don't make any decisions. You just sell when extreme greed is triggered. You would have sold twice because extreme greed was triggered here and then extreme greed was triggered here, right? And again, you would buy here because extreme greed was triggered here, right? And extreme greed was triggered here and extreme greed was triggered here. This is a bear market. And in the bear market, you can see this was a long, long, long bear market. And in the bear market, if you had just bought three times, you would have made nearly 120%. On your first buy, I want to actually show you how cool this is. So if you would have just bought here, this was still a bull market. You buy here, buy, sell, sell. Because you buy when fear and greed is low, and you sell when there is extreme greed in the market. Okay. You would have bought here. Price was around 29,500, somewhere around there. You would have sold your first sell at 46,500, and you would have sold your second sell at around 58,000. In fact, there is a spreadsheet here. Right, let's quickly just get the spreadsheet and actually look at specific numbers. You would have bought at 33,300 on average, and you would have sold once at 48,671 and once at 64,210. You would have made 46% on your first buy unleveraged and 92% on your second buy unleveraged. In a bull market, your holding duration would have been 67 days, quite short, to make the 46%. And the second time, it would have taken you 135 days to make the nearly 100%. That is if you had just bought the fear and sold the greed. That's it. No thinking. No deviating from the strategy. No, just computer. Buy fear, sell greed. Buy fear, sell greed. Buy fear, sell greed. That's it. Okay? Now, here you get into a bear market. And you'll realize that in a bear market, you buy the greed, the fear, but then it carries on dipping and people get more fearful and you buy again and you buy again. Because remember, the computer buys every single time that you get into fear, right? So here you would have bought three times because three times in the bear market did we get to extreme fear. And then you just hold it, and eventually you get to sell it. Now, the only difference is that if this is a bear market, then your holding periods are longer, but ultimately your return is still worth it, right? So the first buy, you bought the first time, thinking that it might rebound. It didn't rebound. That's fine. You bought again because fear and greed hits again, and you bought again a third time. And the problem is that you had to hold it throughout the whole bear market. But because you had conviction in this coin, you landed up making money. And then you bought it again in the beginning of the bull market. And you would have made 70% in a span, or you would have made 105% in a span of 120 days. You see, if you buy assets that you have multi-cycle conviction, and you buy them just on market sentiment alone, you will make money. And it's not only Bitcoin, it's pretty much every coin. Look at this. So ETH, you would have bought, remember, you're a computer. You have no say here. You only buy when this thing hits. Bang. So you would have bought here. You would have sold here because you would have Porsche, you would have sold you 75 days, 70%. Here, you would have bought again because we went into it and you would have sold. Here, you would have bought a bear market, bear market, bear market, and you would have sold over here because this is the first time that we actually got euphoric. Let's look at the ETH spreadsheet. ETH, you would have bought here 70% in 75 days, 45 days, 61%. Here, you would have held a long time to make 28%. But here, you would have made almost 200% by just holding. And then in the bull market, you would have got the faster returns again. It's such a simple strategy, and it works so well with tokens that you have conviction on. Doesn't work with every token. It works with tokens that you have multi-cycle conviction. Here's another example, right? Solana. Sell every time there's extreme fear. Buy every time there's extreme fear and sell every time there's extreme greed. Just be a computer. Do nothing else, right? How does that look? How does that look on paper? 650% for holding 140 days. Yeah, you make a 7x by holding for a year and a half. Fuck, I'll make a 7x by holding for a year and a half. Make seven times your money, bro, in a bear market. Money for jam. It's the same thing. Let's see. The researchers were supposed to send us a lot of charts, but now we don't know if we're going to get them. It's a raffle. It's like a raffle. Well, you don't know if you're going to win. Okay, so buy BNB, sell. They did BNB. Okay, let's look at the BNB statistics. Bang. Yeah, 147 days to double your money on a major asset. Can I ask you a question? For doubling your money in 147 days, would you do it? Doubling your money, 147 days. You give me 300, I give you 600. No brainer, bro. Okay? 161% in a bear market in 670 days. In a bear market. Would you take it? Guys, why are we not just following the strategy? It's such a simple strategy. Just be... Oh, they did a Chainlink one as well. Congratulations to the researchers. Just in the nick of time, they did it first. Chainlink. Same thing. Look, the only difference is how long you're going to land up holding the assets. That's it. And so I say to you that for me, the best strategy that I've ever seen is when the fear and greed gets low, or where the fear is high and the greed is low, you buy assets that you're willing to hold for multi-cycle. Let me show you something very cool. MicroStrategy. If you would apply the same thing to MicroStrategy, when the Bitcoin fear and greed index is below 10 or 20, you buy. When it's above 70, you sell. Look at these returns. Okay? Look at these returns. 8x through the bear market. Okay, so you went through a bear market, but you managed to get 8x on the way out of the bear market. 8x your money. It's so simple. And so let me show you what I'm pretty much doing now. Number one is, as I posted in Frontrunners earlier today, can you get into Frontrunners now? Let's let people in. Tell Amy to put a link. 24 hours, we let people in. If you want to get in. Try it for a month. You don't like it, leave. I'll pay you back your money, okay? I said, I'm starting to deploy. Why? I'm not looking at the price. I couldn't give a shit about the price. I'm only looking at fear and greed, and I'm starting to deploy, and I'm deploying in three batches. And the reason why I say in three batches, sometimes the fear and greed remains at those levels for quite a long time, right? You can see that. I don't want to bomb all my money here. I want to trade this range. And so I'm deploying it into three batches. Three batches, the only criteria is the fear and greed must be under 20 when I deploy. That's it. Look at this. So today I'm shifting gears into more aggressive. I'm deploying the first of my three batches into MicroStrategy. Remember I said, when the market gets defensive, when the market gets scared, I get aggressive. Aggressive means that I swap Bitcoin into leverage Bitcoin. I swap Bitcoin into MicroStrategy. The reason why I do that is because you can see that if you buy Bitcoin and Bitcoin goes up 519%, MicroStrategy goes up 1,000%. It's the same on the downside. Same thing here. When Bitcoin went up 335%, MicroStrategy went up 1,419%, right? So that's how I trade. I'm only trading on fear and greed. When the fear is fearful, when the fear is fearful, when people are fearful, I get more aggressive. Aggressive means pivoting from Bitcoin to MicroStrategy. Bitcoin to leverage Bitcoin. You can see I did the analysis here. That's the chart of Bitcoin. That's the chart of Bitcoin. That's the chart of MicroStrategy. Have a look here. Bitcoin went up from that bottom to that top 100%. But then, here, if you take the same bottom and you go to the top, MicroStrategy went up 360%. So MicroStrategy is like three times more leveraged than Bitcoin. And that's why I want to be buying. You can do it for any one of the time frames. I'm not going to waste my time doing it on multiple time frames, but you can do it. Long story short, I'm starting to get much more aggressive now. Why? Because if it's a bull market, we're going to get a V-shaped recovery. And then I expect that by the 1st of April, which I tweeted last night, I said by the 1st of April, Bitcoin's trading back over $100,000. And I really, really, really believe that. If we're in a bear market, I'm happy to hold every single one of these assets. Bitcoin, Sol, Sonic, Ethereum, Radium, Aerodrome, and Hyperliquid. I'm happy to hold those through another cycle. Why am I so happy to hold those assets through another cycle? Because I understand that the only way to make real money in crypto is to hold assets multi-cycle. You can make money intra-cycle, but if you look at all the holders of Bitcoin, all the people in Bitcoin that actually got rich, right? They bought here at 4,000 and they sold not in this cycle, but they're still holding it in the second cycle. And they're now up 25x on their money or whatever, or 15x on their money. That's the only way to make money, guys. That's the only way to make money. I mean, I know a guy, a friend of a friend, who landed up investing with Multicoin Capital, put in $1 million in the previous cycle, landed up making 13x his money because he held multi-cycle. 13x the guy made. Crazy, crazy, crazy amounts of money. Here's the proof. 13x his money and he's still getting distributions. The only way to make money, really, 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 the only way to make money in crypto is to hold things multi-cycle and to buy things when people are fearful and to sell things when people are greedy. Right now, everybody is so scared. You know who's the most scared? The ETF holders. They're really, really scared because they haven't been here for long. And I don't understand that a 20% correction in Bitcoin is nothing. Like it doesn't do anything, right? Those guys are scared. That's why I think it's probably a good time to buy Bitcoin. You know, I was also really, really scared. The Solana people. You know why they're really, really scared? Because everyone's put the fear of God into them because of the unlocks. Everybody's talking about the Solana unlocks, which are already priced in, by the way. What no one's talking about is the fact that there is a proposal to reduce the inflation of Solana by 80%. And the proposal hasn't been put through by a bunch of dummies. The proposal has been put through by Multicoin Capital, who are one of the biggest holders of Solana. And if that happens, then the inflation is going to be reduced by 80%. No one's talking about this. Why? Because they're only talking about the fact that there is a massive, massive, massive unlock, which, by the way, the market's known about. So that news has been out in the market for a long time. So everybody's scared, and that's why Solana's dumping. Cool. Great. What do I do when things, do I believe in Solana multi-cycle? Yeah. I mean, if I were to hold a blockchain between now, let me, there's four people in this room. Five. If you were to hold one single blockchain, you're allowed to hold one single blockchain, except for Bitcoin. You can hold one blockchain, no other blockchain, and you got to hold it until the next cycle, which is in 2027. But you're only allowed to hold one. Which one are you holding? Solana. Josh, what are you holding? Ethereum, okay. Sui, okay. Risky. Hardus, what are you holding?
Solana.
Pick your blockchain. I don't care what it is. Solana, Sui, Ethereum. I don't care what it is. But if you're happy to hold it multi-cycle, that's where you're going to end up making all the money. My bet, Solana. Got to be honest. Number two, Sui. But number one is definitely Solana. And so I'm going to hold it multi-cycle. I don't care. I'm going to buy it now at 130 or 140. And I'm going to, someone says runs a smart guy, but he has ADHD. Bro, I have got such ADHD. I have to sit with fucking balls I've got such ADHD. You won't believe how much ADHD I've got. I'm the poster child for ADHD. So yes, that's what I was saying. And now that you distracted me, I forgot what I was going to say. The other one that I would probably hold multi-cycle, Sonic. None of you said Sonic. None of you said Sonic. I think Sonic is a good buy at these levels. And if you're going to hold multi-cycle, then hold multi-cycle. That's it's a good time to be holding. Again, you're seeing Bitcoin breaking down now because Trad, I bet you there's going to be massive sales today from BlackRock. Let's just see what the Nasdaq's doing, whether this is a stock market thing. You know, I could have just gone to the bubbles, actually, and just gone stocks. Nasdaq down 1.1%. Quite big. 1.6%. Quite big. Tesla down 7.32%. NVIDIA down 3.44%. Salesforce down 5.4%. Okay, so stock markets are coming down, so Bitcoin's going to start coming down with it. Anyway, guys, that is the story. Now, what I suggest is, if you want to trade, there are a few places that you can trade where I've got you guys like unbelievable deals. The first one is, you want to trade with other people's money, not your money, go to bitfunder.com. There's links to all of them, but I don't care. You can just go to bitfunder.com and you can just go and do it. Let's just quickly go, yeah. So, see, I didn't even put my video on YouTube, you see? I want to show you something. So, number one, if you want to trade with other people's money, go to Bitfunded. Why? Because you can trade, if you want to trade a $10,000 account, you literally pay $99 and you can trade an account. Now, anybody opens an account in the next 24 hours, I'm going to give you a free. So you open an account, buy a challenge, you'll get a free challenge. First 200 people only. You got it. Do what you want to do. First 200 people only. Open a challenge, get a challenge for free, which means that you're then trading with other people's money. Then if you want to go to exchanges, the exchanges are now they're fighting to get you on board. First one is WeX. You get your account, you secure your account, you get by blinking a phone number and an email, you get between $10 and $100. You transfer money to your futures account, $200, you get $100. And when you start trading, you get $10 for every $10,000. That's the first one. Second one is Gate, because now they saw this. Tell you what they did. They said, look, we have to beat WeX. So what they did was, I'm going to read this to you because it's quite like long. Here it is. Okay, so sign up and get between $10 and $100. Transfer $200 of USDT to your futures account and get $200. And then achieve a futures trading volume of $20,000 and get another $200. So you're getting $500. So you've got a bunch of exchanges if you do want to trade and you do want to buy this dip. You're getting like $500, $400, $300 for signing up these exchanges. Or you can trade with Bitfunded and you can trade with someone else's money. That's all I have to say to you guys today. Trade multi-cycle and forget about the price. Just trade on the sentiment. It's the only strategy that's worked for me. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, we have Andre Crenier from Sonic, and he's going to tell us exactly what he's building and exactly which protocols he likes. I hope. Well, I hope that's what he's going to tell us. See you then. Until then, trade well, my friends.